Number one, and this again is basic, and I apologize for people, it's too basic, but I find that it's still probably the number one mistake that people make in investing is a lack of diversification. They just lack that diversification in how they put together their investments. Can't tell you how many people think that they're going to strike it rich and they're going to hit a home run with that one investment, and they say, okay, and they put everything into it. Right? I know people who have been wiped out completely from Madoff, right? Because they had recommendation and they had somebody who sold them, and right? I can tell you stories. I had a client, a semi-client, somebody who I did some financial planning with who was in the Madoff scandal. Okay? I had other people who were involved in other real estate types of scandals that where people lost money. And if you do not properly diversify and put a plan together about where your money is going to be, how much of it is going to be in real estate, how much of it is going to be in businesses, stocks, how much is it going to be in financial instruments, bonds, and the like, if you don't have a diversification in different types of assets, in different currencies, right? It could be that your portfolio that you had in your former country was very appropriate to that country. There's something that's called localization bias, which means that most people who are living in the UK have a preponderance of their assets in pounds invested in the UK, and the same thing in the US, and the same thing in Canada. And there's a good reason for that, because you want to have your assets tied to the local currency. You want to have your assets tied to what's happening in the local economy, the inflation rate, the growth, the opportunities that you are connected with what's happening locally. But if you move to another country like Israel and you have all of your assets outside and you're not properly diversified, so then you're potentially missing out on opportunities, and even more importantly, not just missing out on opportunities, potentially creating much greater risk. So like the example of that woman who was telling you who brought over money, and for whatever reason, she listened to an investment advisor and said, let's just keep everything in dollars. Even though she was living in Israel, her family was living in Israel, this was all the money that she was going to ever get, and came from family wealth, instead of taking a more diversified perspective. Not that I would have known that the dollar at that point in time was going from 4.9 down to 3.1 and then up to 4 and now down to 3.5. That's not the point. The point is that you have to diversify. And for people who are living here in Israel, it makes increasingly more sense for them to have a good part of your assets connected to the shekel, connected to the local inflation rate, top of your assets invested in Japanese yen. And you're going to invest all in the Japanese stock market. And that was, let's say, 1985. If anybody knows, right? In the 80s, the yen and Japanese markets were at 50,000. Right? And now, even though the yen has appreciated over the years, but the economy has been flat and the market is still at a 70% loss from where it was 25 years ago. It just wouldn't make sense for people to do that. And anybody who would tell you, yeah, that would make sense, even if you thought that the yen and the Japanese economy would be great, that would not be a logical way of investing. So you have to approach it the same way when you come to Israel. You have to be thinking about, how do I diversify properly here? Country risk, right? We talked about Cyprus before. Cyprus is an example of country risk. A country that has risk that will cause people tremendous amounts of loss. So that's why you want to be spreading it around, creating a diversified portfolio both of different types of assets, different types of currencies, but not forgetting the local component. And again, that's why I pointed out as a mistake, because it's really that mistake that is reoccurring by people who come here but yet keep their assets abroad. Okay? Number two. When you're putting together an investment portfolio, so it's also very important to make sure that you're going to rebalance your portfolio as things develop. Okay? You can't necessarily keep your portfolio on autopilot. You can't assume that just because you initially set up a portfolio that made sense for you, it might have been 70% invested in stock and 30% invested in bonds, that you're going to now not touch it now for the next 5 or 10 years, because depending on what's happening in the market, things can tremendously go out of whack. And so you need to consistently be rebalancing, not weekly, monthly, but over periods of time, whether it's on a yearly basis or every 2 years or every 6 months. You have to find what works for you. Okay? So part of that rebalancing is also looking at the currency issues and looking at what's happening with currency. Because it might make sense when the dollar is very high to, even if you don't want to change the breakdown of your portfolio, but at that point in time to say, okay, you know what? I'm happy to lock in my dollars at a higher shekel rate. And make sure that they start moving over here, because eventually, if I'm living here, I'm going to need that money. Right? So for instance, last summer, right? Not another, but last summer I wrote an article in one of the local magazines that talked about how the dollar at that point in time was at about 4.0. The Canadian dollar was even higher than 4 at that point in time. And I said, I have no idea where the dollars are going. But all I know is that in the last 2 or 3 years, the dollar has been slowly appreciating. And anybody who has money in foreign currency that sees themselves coming and living and needing that money over time to be here in Israel needs to take advantage of the fact that you have a 20% gain in your money over the last 2 years and start converting that money into shekel. Okay? Because we don't know where the currency is. And I can say the same thing right now, too. Because I don't know if the dollar is going to 3 or to 4. But if you're consistently going to be using money in shekels, and you're consistently, you know, you need to be diversifying and rebalancing your portfolio, and it really also relates to where your money is located and what currency it's in.
So who are the, are there any particular brokerage houses or internet sites that are good at currency assessment? For example, now, interest rates are low now in
the U.S. So currency markets around the world are largely determined by speculators. Okay? It's all based on speculation. Because the amount of money that are out there, that are being traded, that have caused the fluctuations, they're not based on just the importing, and they're based on, and that's why you have governments that need to step in to try and combat that speculation. Everything has an impact, correct. Once interest rates start going up in the U.S., yes, in a certain sense, yes, it'll increase the strength of the U.S. dollar because people might want more dollars, but I can also tell you many scenarios exactly because interest rates are going up where the U.S. economy is going to tremendously suffer because of their debt, and people are going to have second thoughts about whether or not the U.S. government is going to be able to pay off their debt, and as a result, people might actually want to sell off the U.S. dollar. So you can always come up, and I can find you experts on this side of this coin and that side of the coin, and people are going to tell you this, and people are going to tell you that. Either you need to try and find somebody that you can rely on, that you trust, that has a good, you know, sense, but even that, there's no such thing.
Are there people here who were quoted whatever the Forbes or whatever of Israel?
I have not found somebody locally that I say, oh, this is my nubby. This is the guy that I feel knows more than anybody. That's not to say that there aren't people out there. I'm sure that there are. I guess I rely much less on predicting where the dollar and going and rather trying to put together a proper plan that takes into account both eventualities, both possibilities. Because I don't know where it's going. And anybody who really tells you that they know where it's going, the last time that happened to me, a client of mine was you know, defrauded or stolen about several million dollars of hers. Major fraud case because somebody has been pretending to be a currency trader who knew exactly when and what was happening with the currency markets and was making lots of money, and it was a complete scam. Okay, so it's very difficult. The currency markets are probably the most difficult market to make money consistently in. That's why, you know, anybody who comes to me with, like, you know, all these offers from all these, like, foreign currency trading platforms of ways that they can make tremendous amounts of money in short periods of time. Yes, you can. But you can also lose your money in exactly the same amount of time because it's incredibly volatile and it's highly leveraged. So I prefer to have a balanced type of approach where your plan takes into consideration both sides of the equation. Right? You have to protect yourself, and that's what you build into a proper financial plan. If you have income that's being generated in foreign currency because you have pensions and Social Security and IRAs or whatever it might be that's coming from your foreign currency, things that you can't necessarily move here because you can't move your Social Security to Israel to be paid in shekels based on the shekel, right? So you have to balance that. How do you balance that? By having more exposure to the shekel because you already have your exposure to the dollar. Or the pound, or the Canadian dollar. Right? You have to have that balance. If I know that I'm going to have my money come in dollars, so that's great. But even better if the dollar goes up to 5. But what happens if the dollar goes down to 1? And I'm not saying that it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. But either one of those tremendous fluctuations could happen, and you have to protect yourself. And that's why you need to diversify. That's why you need to have currency here. Okay? And it's just a basic planning. You're no longer spending foreign currency. You're no longer living in that country. And as a result, you have to take into account that that's something that might happen. Even if it's only a 2% chance of it happening, why would you want that even to take a chance to ruin your entire financial life because all of your income is tied to a currency that might be worth much less? And don't tell me it doesn't happen. It could happen. There are many, many economies that I can quote over the last century that have either gone bust or have lost almost all the value of their currency. And there's very, very recent examples as well. So you don't have to go so far and so long to see that happen. And I'm not saying the American government is going down tomorrow. But could I come up with a scenario where the American government would default on its debt and the U.S. government dollar would go through the floor? Yes, I could. Right? And there's lots of sites out there, websites and people who will give you all these, like, you know, scenarios. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't think it's going to happen. For sure not going to happen, I don't think, in the next day or two. Year, 2, 5, 10 years out? I don't know. But that's not the point. The point is you need to put a plan in place that works for you and your individual circumstances. Okay, now let me talk about real estate and how that fits into your plan. Okay? The Israeli real estate market, as the gentleman here who said he bought 7, 8 years ago knows, has seen growth of, on average, over the last 7 years, 6 to 7 years, on average of over 80%, okay? Which is basically unprecedented here in Israel. Okay? In many, many places.
Yearly growth.
Not nearly, that's cumulative growth over that period of time. Consistently, I've seen quoted, going back over 50, 60 years, that the average growth rate here in this country, even though real estate, everybody admits it's been a great investment here over the long run, but the average has actually been much closer to 2 to 3%. 3.5% I've seen. But it definitely has not approached what we've seen in the last 6 or 7 years. And there's lots of reasons for it. And I personally am convinced that it's not going to continue. It's not consistent that this country should have the average small 3-4 room apartment that's worth 1.2 million shekels, where salaries are still incrementally better than they were 5 or 10 years ago, but not substantially different. There's a chart I have in the book that shows that there are three things that consistently have gone in parallel fashion. Rent, value of apartments, and the average wage. That makes sense. The average wage has to go up for people to be able to afford higher rents and higher value of apartments. In the last 6, 7 years, there's one that's gone completely off the chart, no longer going in parallel, and that's the price of apartments. Okay? It's not consistent. Okay, there's something that's called the rule of 72. Anybody ever heard of it?
Okay.
Right? Yeah? So if you take that number, right, 3 into 72, it means the value of real estate should double every 24 years. Okay? If real estate was to continue growing at a 7, 8, 9%, that means in 9 years, you will have real estate, average real estate price in this country will be 2.4 million shekels. It's impossible. It's not physically impossible, but it is impossible that the economy could sustain an average starting apartment price for young couples at 2.4 million shekels when salaries are still averaging 8,000 shekels a month before taxes. Okay? It's impossible. It's not, you can't. Yes, there's lots of money that's come in. There's a lot of propped up prices. There's a lot of reasons why the price of real estate has gone up so much. Okay? Anybody who tells you real estate always goes up, didn't live here in the last 15 years because there were periods of time when real estate went down by 20, 30%. Okay? I'm convinced. I don't know when it's going to be. Okay? I've been saying this probably at least for the last year. I don't know when it's going to be. It might take another year, 2 years. But eventually, real estate prices have to do one of two things. Either flatten out for a long period of time where there's basically no growth so that inflation then erodes the value of real estate prices, okay, and lets the other things catch up, or you're going to see a mild to moderate drop in real estate prices. And believe it or not, even though the media sometimes, I don't know why, but they have their ways of reporting and distorting, and they reported recently, real estate prices are still up year over year. Yeah, they are. But in the last 8 months, they're down. Okay, this year, they're down. Don't know if it's going to continue. I don't know what the extent depends on where you are in the country. But I don't see it continuing. That's not to say that people who live here shouldn't be buying an apartment, should be purchasing something that they should live in. They can and they should and they're encouraged to. Right? But it has to be part of your plan. You have to be able to afford it as well. You have to be able to afford the mortgage payment if you're going to be paying for it on credit. You have to be able to have your salary support that, and not just at today's rate, but also at projected interest rates going forward, because interest rates are going to go up. And that's what they're worried about. That's why there's all these different restrictions that they keep introducing. Because they realize that interest rates are at all-time lows in the country, and that's another reason why the real estate market has been up. Because if you get a 0.25% by investing, putting your money in a deposit in the bank, and you can invest in real estate, and real estate will give you a return of 2 to 4% on rent, and then maybe a little bit of capital appreciation, makes sense to a lot of people. And that's what they've done. And that's what pushed up the price. Okay.
Contrary logic here, that if everybody buys, you're convinced to buy real estate, you know, I've seen that in the past, that, and nobody can afford to rent it, that there is a time that it's better not to own, but to rent. You get long-term rentals, and one day prices will be down.
Correct.
And invest, but why invest at the top of the market? And then sit on the real estate for years and years until it comes to mind.
Well, correct. But you might have also said that the last 2 or 3 years too. And you would have lost a little bit in terms of the, but I'm very supportive. Right. So I'm very supportive of that approach in general. And rent to value ratios in this country, the amount of rent that you're going to spend on the as for the value, between 2 and 4%. That means the total amount of rent that you will pay over the course of a year in Israel is about between 2 to 4%. Okay, as opposed to in the United States where it ranges between 8 and 12%. So that means relatively cheaper in this country to rent than it is in other countries. So that's another thing to support your general idea, and there are lots of people who rent here locally. There are lots of people who rent long-term. Now, there's disadvantages to renting. but it is definitely something to think about. Let's just before we wrap up, and I'm happy to take as many questions, I'm going to pass around the sign-up sheet. If anybody would like to sign up, I have a monthly newsletter that goes out, and I publish a blog and an article to talk about all these things. You're more than welcome to take a look at my website as well. There's a lot of information. I will pass around those as well. As I mentioned at the beginning, what we do for people is both the financial planning side of things as well as the investment management. We don't do necessarily both of them for the same people. Sometimes somebody will come and just want financial planning assistance, and other times somebody just wants investment management. But that's the type of services we do, and I'm happy to answer any other additional questions. The book is, again, also for sale if anybody's interested. It's 60 shekels. I hope that this was informational. And if you have any additional questions or things that I might not have addressed, I know I touched at least on the real estate side of things. In Israel, it has been a good place to invest in real estate, and there's still an opportunity. I'll make one other additional point with the accompaniment.
Great, I love it.
So there's a tremendous divide in this country between areas of the country where it's developed and prices have come up, the Merkaz, the Tel Aviv area, right? Jerusalem, Modi'in, Beit Shemesh, Haifa. Prices there have gone up tremendously. And the average price in Tel Aviv is much more than 1.2 million. It's closer to 2 million. But you go to other places in the periphery, and the prices there are much, much, much cheaper. And that's why a lot of New Orleans who can't afford to go and buy very expensive house or apartments in Jerusalem go out and they're buying apartments in Arad and in Tiberia and in Carmiel and in Beersheba, and real estate is much, much, much cheaper there. And also from an investment perspective, it's also much cheaper for people to get into. So even if you might decide to rent in Jerusalem, you might say, well, I still want to put some of my money in real estate and go and find yourself a real estate investment locally that is a little bit cheaper, that maybe you don't have to tie up as much money, but that also might tie you into the market and give you good growth potential, especially in the periphery where there is a much higher growth potential, right? If in Arad right now the average apartment is 500,000 shekels, there's a higher long-term potential growth.
And I suggest, by the way,
pardon me?
If
I personally buy it, well.
With respect to the purchase of real estate, being from the States, the southern state, as Delaware, but it was a whole revolutionary concept to have a purchase here. We bought from a developer, we paid a legal fees of the developer,
mm-hmm.
which is unheard of in the States.
It's a different market, it's a different reality.
The acquisition transfer tax was substantially greater than, we were prepared to sell and pay it, but learning about it, true education to find out about it.
There's a chapter or two all about the real estate process.
Shekels as well, so we have pleasure first. But I would recommend that you speak to someone in the financial world or an attorney at the very early stages of an acquisition. Because even with respect to the real estate broker being one in law, you may end up often paying the, unlike in the States where the seller pays the brokerage fee, you end up with the buyer.
They're both sides.
Paying a portion of it.
Both sides are generally will pay real estate fees. But you have to know, like everything else in this country, everything's negotiable.
Oh, and another.
So you have to realize that you have flexibility in many circumstances to be able to negotiate those fees.
And in purchasing in a new development that's in construction, in the States you get 10% down at the final settlement, maybe you're only 90% when it's done. Here, based upon how much you pay.
Yep.
You still a hole in the ground, the money's gone, and you go by every day, you see nothing's taking place, and you don't earn the interest on the money that you've already made over, you get nervous. It's insured by the bank.
Yep.
Assuming the bank stays in business, they can pay it off. Have you ever heard of a situation where there has been like a default with the bank?
It has occurred. There has been large scandals, but mostly, I'm going to pass this around, which are also some quotes and information about the book. There has been, but mostly it has been when clients do things not the right way. Like the last major scandal a number of years ago, which was where people lost a tremendous amount of money, was when they did not follow proper regulations and they did not deposit money into the proper account, and they were encouraged to, you know, to go like this around and do it under the table and this and that and deposit in different accounts, and that money wasn't guaranteed, and that was money that they lost. But yes, if a couple of them goes bankrupt and it's not properly managed, so then people can lose money. There's no question about it. So anyway, I hope that this was enjoyable, and I'm happy to hang around and answer any other questions. And please feel free to be in touch with me, and be happy if I can help you with anything at all.
I'd like to know how it looks. Tell me if I can afford